Thank you, choir, for that music, and thank you, ladies, for that special music. I'll tell you what, it's a privilege and an honor for me to be here this morning with you. Thank you for coming. Some of you knew I'd be here, and you came anyway. I'm grateful for that. But I'll tell you what, it is an honor for me to be asked to speak this morning, and I greatly appreciate it and thank the Lord. I heard a good report from the pastor's trip to Key West. I think he has a new granddaughter, and everything went well. So keep praying for him while he's away. Those of you who are considering coming to Honduras on this mission trip, I hope you'll get things in order now. December's coming shortly. It's just around the corner. Get your passport. That's the first thing. And one thing, I don't know if it's been mentioned to you or not, but one thing in connection with getting your passport, you have to have an official copy of your birth certificate, one with the seal from the state where you were born. So don't wait till the last minute. I had a friend of mine, we were going on a mission trip together one time, and he waited till the last minute to get his passport. And it caused him to miss a flight. And, we finally got together on the way to Europe. I forget, we were going to Romania, I think. And he come huffing and puffing through the airport, dragging two or three suitcases. And it was awful. But what happened was he just delayed in getting his passport. And it caused him problems. So if you're coming, I appreciate you coming. We're looking forward to it. But get your passport now. Do it now. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Well, I have a report this morning to give you. I have a special report. And that's this. God is good. Every day. Every day. God is good. You know, if I'm enjoying health and have no problems physically, and I'm able to go and do. And God has been good to me through the years in the matter of health. I just tell you honestly, I take no medication, and God has just been good to me. But if I'm enjoying that good health and the blessings of God, it's because God is good. But now listen to me. If tomorrow it's all gone, if I'm in the hospital, terminally ill tomorrow, God's still good. He's good every day. God is good. If I'm enjoying financial benefits, or if I'm enjoying my family surrounding me, if I have family and good friends surrounding me, and I do, and if I'm enjoying all that, co-workers who care about me and who get along well with me. It's because God is good. God is good. But listen, if tomorrow it's all over and everybody deserts me, if I have not a friend left in the world, if my family is gone, and some of them already are, you know, it's getting to where I know more people on the other side of eternity than on this side. That's a sign of getting old, right? I know that. But listen, if everybody's gone and I have no friends on earth but Jesus, God is still good. Every day, God is good. If I have material possessions, if I have money, if I have food to eat, place to live and a car to drive, God is good. And it's because of Him and His goodness that I have those things. Now, I'm not rich, but I have enough to live on. But it's because God is good. But if tomorrow all that's gone, if I don't have a dime to my name, if I don't have a place to live, if I don't have a vehicle to drive, God is still good. Every day, God is good. You know, I think Job knew something about the goodness of God. You remember the account of Job. If you read the Bible at all or been in church for a while, you've heard about Job. You know, Job was a wealthy man. He was well-to-do. I mean, he had possessions. He had real estate. He had cattle. He had sheep. And I mean, he was well-to-do. He had children. But then one day, God gave the devil permission to test Job. And all those material possessions were taken away. They were all gone. His children had all died. He had boils. Had boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. If you ever had a boil, you know that's painful. I mean, it's painful. But he was sitting one day in the dust pile. He scraped with a piece of broken pottery. He was scraping those boils to get rid of some of them, to get rid of the itch. And his wife said to him, "Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" He said, "You talk like one of the foolish women." He said, "Shall we receive good from the hand of God and not evil also?" A little later, Job was talking to one of his friends, and the friend was kind of giving him a little bit of a hard time, wondering what sin Job had committed to receive this bad fortune. Job said to him, though God slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job knew something about the goodness of God. And he understood that. He understood that God's good no matter what happens to me. God is still good. Every day. Every day God is good. I found another man in the scripture that knew something about that too. You can be opening Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 73. This man's name is Asaph. Now, I'll just give you a little more personal information before I go on. The other day when the pastor came by and asked me if I would fill in for him today, I began to study and to think and ask God, what shall I say? What shall I talk about? And my mind was drawn to this portion of Scripture. I had an outline on this portion of Scripture, by the way. But I just began to read it and study it, and it seemed to me that this is what God wanted me to talk about this morning. The goodness of God and Asaph. But a little later, I just happened to look at that outline, and I looked at the back side of it, and it had a note on there that said something like this: used at Lock Haven, March of 1996. So, I know you all will remember this. I mean, it's only been 18 years, right? I tell you what, if Lord willing and you'll permit me, I'll come back in 18 more years and do it again. Write that on your calendar. March 16th, 2032. That'd be 2032, wouldn't it? 16th. 18 more years? 2032? Write that on your calendar. Now, I know some of you write it down as a day to avoid. It's a day to stay away from church. No, I'm joking with you. You know I am. I'd be very fortunate to be back here on 2032. One time in high school, our teacher started a discussion. And the discussion was this: what do you think about the year 2000? Do you think you'd still be here in 2000? Will you still be living? And that was the question that was asked to all the students in this class. And I think almost everyone.
We quickly did the math. I'm going to
look up. I'd be 58 years old. I think this was in about, it must have been 1959 or 60. I don't remember exactly, but I think almost all of us, to everyone, said, no, I don't believe I'll be alive in the year 2000. See, when I figured up 58 years old, that seemed old to me back in those days. I mean, you know, now it seems young to me. It's a matter of perspective, right? But I say again, I'd be very fortunate and blessed of God to be here in 2032. Anyway, let's get back to Asaph now. This psalm was written by a man named Asaph. Now, he was a talented musician, this man was. His family, his descendants were musicians also. But he was appointed minister of music during the time of King David. So I said that just so that you know a little bit about this man. He was not just a casual visitor to the temple. He was there all the time. He was serving in the temple. He's not just a pew warmer. He has a job to do in the ministry. But we're going to see some things about him in a few minutes, some things with which I can relate, things that I can relate to. I don't know about you. You speak for yourself. But Asaph was not just a casual visitor to the temple. He was there all the time, working in the ministry, leading the music, doing other things. He was all the time. He was a regular. He wrote several psalms. He wrote this psalm. He wrote Psalm 50. And he wrote Psalm 73 through, I think, about 83 or 84. So he wrote a lot of the psalms, and God preserved them for us to read and learn from. But in this Psalm 73, we're going to see that Asaph takes a look in three different directions. First of all, he looks at the world surrounding him and the people around him. Then a little later, he takes a look inward at himself. And he takes an in-depth look at himself, which we would do well to do also. Then he takes a look at God. But this is our discussion for today. It's the three looks: outward, inward, and upward. Let's begin. I'll just begin here with verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Then he says in verse 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. See, he's looking outward, and he's looking at the wicked people and the unsaved and the unchurched and people that are sometimes very rich in material things. He's looking outward. Now, I want to say to you that I believe the first verse in this psalm, the statement he made here in the first, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. This is a conclusion that he makes based upon his experiences that he's going to give us here in the following verses. This is a conclusion. You know, Paul often signed his letters at the first, before he wrote the letters. He wrote his signature and identified himself as the writer at the beginning. In a debate, if you're having a formal debate and you're going to support one side or the other, you state your conclusion. You state the part that you're going to defend or purport. You state it first, and that's sort of what ASAP does here. He gives you his conclusion before the discussion. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Verse 2 and 3, he tells us something about his condition at this particular time. But if for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He shows us what a prolonged look at the world around you can do to you. If you just get your eyes on other people and you're thinking about how well off they are, look how much they have. Look what they have. Look at that new car, that new house, those clothes. Whatever. If you're watching the lives of other people too much, this is where you can end up. You can end up like Asaph, just in a state of envy and jealousy by looking at other people. Well, he's honest and he confesses his condition here. Then in verse 4, he begins to describe what he saw in the world around him. He begins to describe what he was seeing and what caused him to get into this condition. Verse number 4, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. Verse number 5. They are not in trouble. He's talking about the wicked people, the unchurched, unsaved. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. He seems to say, well, because of their wealth, man, they just don't have any trouble. Their lives are just trouble-free. Well, that obviously isn't true. You don't have to look very far around you. You don't have to look at the news very far. Some of those prosperous, wealthy, well-known people in the world, in our country and the world, they take their life at their own hand, either intentionally or accidentally, with an overdose of drugs. Just having money and material possessions does not solve everything. It does not eliminate problems. That's what he supposed when he first looked at the wealthy and the prosperous and the wicked. But it does not. He thought it made them travel trouble-free, but it did not. Verse number 6. Read that again with me. Therefore, pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. He said they hold themselves up. They're wrapped up in pride. They have a non-caring attitude. These wealthy, rich, unchurched, unsaved people, wicked people, he calls them. Verse number 7. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. In other words, fatness in a Bible, when a Bible makes that reference to someone, it means that they're very, very rich in material possessions. It's just that they have everything that they could possibly wish for. Verse number 8, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak lawfully. In other words, they think mostly of themselves. They don't think of other people. They're very prideful and arrogant, he said. Verse number 9. Listen to this. They set their mouths against the heaven, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Now, when they set their mouth against the heavens, they're actually at enmity with God. they're actually contradicting things that God says are right. They're talking against God. You know, we have a bunch of people in our country today that are just like that. Now, I'm sorry to say it. Now, I grew up in a time when this wasn't true. I grew up in a time when the majority of people said good things about God. And they obeyed His commandments. And they lived by His word. But today, it's a whole different story. If you're thought of as one of God's people, you're derided sometimes. I mean, people will deride you. They look down on them. They look down their noses at you. I'm sorry to say that's the condition in our country, but it really is right now. These people mock God. They hold themselves higher up on a higher plane. They think of themselves higher than those of you who don't mock God. They make wrong right. They take something that God says is right, and they make it wrong. And they take something that God says is wrong, and they make it right. Now, once again, you don't have to look very far to find out this is true. But look, I want to call your attention just to another verse or two, maybe, before we go on. I want you to look with me at Isaiah chapter 5 for just a minute. Flip over there forward a bit in your Bible. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Look what God says about these people that do that. You with me? Say amen if you got your place. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. I'll give you a minute. Amen? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now God said, woe unto those people that take my word and the things I've said are right and make it wrong, and take things I said are wrong and make it right. Woe unto those people. But that's going on. One other verse, maybe just a minute, as we're here. Malachi, and I believe, I'll find my place here in a minute, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 17. Malachi chapter number 2, verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth of them, or where is the God of judgment? It wearies God when he hears people saying that evil stuff is all right in his sight. I'll mention two examples of what we're talking about here. I think in our country today we turn against principles upon which our country was founded. Our country was really founded in great degree on the Word of God. Our Constitution was written with the Word of God in mind. Capital punishment, for example. Everybody says it's wrong. God said it was right. He has not changed his mind. Now the word translated in the commandments when it says do not kill is literally more the word for do not murder. Do not premeditate to kill an innocent being. Do not do that. Now that's what God said. He's never changed his mind about capital punishment for those who do that crime. It's still in the Word of God. But people say, oh, no, you can't do that. And they will drag a trial out for years and years and years. And I believe the Bible says that delayed judgment is no judgment. Take the matter of abortion. These same people that don't want the death penalty, they want it taken away. These same people say, "Oh, abortion's all right. It's a woman's right." Well, that's a living being. And that is murder. I don't care what everybody says. God hasn't changed his mind about that. These are two principles that we're talking about. These people who want to make wrong things right and right things wrong. And it's going on in our world today. Verse number 10. Go back to my text here. Back to chapter number 73 of Psalm. We're talking about Asaph. Verse number 10. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. Asaph seems to be saying here, he's saying that, hey, you know, sometimes God's people, his chosen people, church people, people that are really honestly born again and saved, sometimes they get drawn into these things. Sometimes they get drawn away from God. And they get to accept things that the Lord says is wrong and the world says is right. They get pulled away from God. I believe that happened to Asaph. I believe if you live long enough, it can happen to you. Even God's people sometimes get drawn into that way of thinking. Verse number 11. And they say, how's God know? How's God know what I do? And there is no knowledge in the Most High. You know, I'll say this, and I'm guilty. I confess to you sometimes. We, as God's people, saved more than church people, sometimes we live two different lives. We live one life here in church and among our Christian friends. And we live another life outside our walls. Say amen or oh me. I say oh me. I'm guilty. I mean, you know, it's so easy to do. Sometimes I'm guilty of that. I just tell you the truth. But that's what happened to people in Asaph's time too. And he watched that and saw that. We live two different lives. Verse number 12. Behold, now he's talking about these ungodly people who he's been watching. Lost people. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase their riches. One little phrase right there in that verse, I think is key to understanding it. They prosper in the world. They prosper in this world. Well, I think God, my inheritance is not here in this world. Amen. This is not my home. Amen. I'm just passing through. Amen. I probably told you this story of what my wife Pat said to her parents one time. I'll repeat it. Maybe some of you weren't here. My wife went to heaven in 1993, wrote a lot of you knew her. Her parents, we started to be missionaries one time. We went out to serve the Lord, gave up jobs. Her parents worried so about her, and they said to her one time, said, Pat, what are y'all going to do when you get up? What about your retirement? Well, she had the perfect answer for them. She said, our retirement's out of this world. A double entendre, no doubt. Out of this world, our retirement. but it literally is out of this world. I mean, she went on to her retirement. I'm still here working, but I'm looking forward to the retirement in heaven for eternity. But this little phrase, in this world, these people grow rich in this world, and they pile up mountains of cash and retirement funds. And I'm not against being prepared for retirement, misunderstanding. I don't have anything to retire from or to. But I like investing. I'll tell you what I like investing in. I like investing in the lives of people. I like helping somebody. And I tell you what I don't like. The people I don't like to help are those who are just sitting around waiting for a handout. I'm going to submit to you, you can't help that kind of person. If that's all their life consists of, waiting for, and we got a bunch of those people in this country today. I'm sorry, but we do. Now, I understand some people need some help sometimes. But the people I like to help, and I found this works better for me, I found this out through experience through years. The people that you can help, and the people that you should help, and the people I like to help, are those who are trying to help themselves. I have some people in Honduras that I've helped. But it's not the ones who are just sitting around waiting and expecting the gringos to come down there and give me money. If I can find somebody who's out there working and trying to better their life and make a better life for themselves, that's the kind of people I like to help. But I like to invest in their lives. And I don't think of it as money spent. I think of money invested. Not only in them, but it's in eternal rewards. You know, there's a difference in rewards and blessings. Blessings are received here on this side of eternity. Rewards are for there. Well, I've talked a long time. I don't know if I've said much or not. And I'm not through. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll make you another deal. I'll make you a different deal. If you come back tonight and hear the conclusion of this, I promise you that I will not come back here with the same message in 2032. Is that a deal? I mean, is that a good deal or not? No, really, the time's running kind of short. I think I'll stop there, if you don't mind. But I would like to finish this tonight. If you'll come back, you get to hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said. We'll have the rest of the story tonight. But I just want to say again, before we leave, please come back tonight. Please, I'm asking. Unless you're providentially hindered. Somebody said one time, providence hindered me, dead or sick. No, I know sometimes people have obligations and I'm not fussing about that. If you have something you absolutely have to do, okay. Please try to come back. But I want to tell you again, God is good. Every day. I want to tell you this, God loves you. God loves you. He loves you. He loves me. I know that's unbelievable sometimes. He loves me even when I do wrong. He loves me when I stumble and fall. He loves me when I don't do the things he wants me to. He loves you. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what's going on in your life, he loves you. And if you're here today and you don't know him as your personal Savior, he wants to save you. He said so. He said he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God wants to save you today. If you don't know my Lord as your personal Savior, this would be a good day to get saved. You know, I remember when I got saved, and I remember the date. I think I remember the date mainly because I've always, just about all my adult life, I worked around other Christians since that point in my life. And they made me conscious of that date. Now, you may have had some experience in the past and you thought you were saved. But if you're not sure, I'm not saying you have to remember the date. But I remember I remember things surrounding the incidents that took place. I remember the place. I remember that I was in the office building of the parts store where I worked. And one day I bowed on my knees with a friend of mine who was praying for me. And I asked the Lord to save that day in that office. I remember that place. Maybe some of you have been saved and, or thought you were saved and you don't have any recollection of a time or a place. I'm not saying that the date's all that important. You could have forgotten the date. But surely if you were saved, you'd remember something about the place or the time. Yeah. Now here today and you're in that shape, this would be a good time to make sure. If you're here today and you just need to come and pray at this altar. Musicians, would you come and pick out a song of invitation? If you're here today and you're not saved, and you'd like to be, when the music plays, you just come. Come to this altar. You can make, if you don't have a place, you can call a memory. If you don't have a place in your memory where you trusted the Lord, you could make this place could be your place. My place is in Huntsville, Tennessee, in the office of a little parts store. It's building still there. I could take you there and show it to you. But that's my place. If you don't have a place like that where you know that you've trusted the Lord and been saved, I urge you, make this your place. If you've been saved, but you're kind of wandering off from God, and you're in an envious and jealous state like Asaph was, you just need to come talk to God about it. Here's an altar. You come. You come as we start to sing. Somebody will be here to help you if you need some help from the Bible. They'll show you how to be saved. Or they'll just pray with you, whatever you need. If you need a good church home, if you're saved or baptized, scripturally baptized, here's a good church. I can recommend this church to you. If you need a church home, here it is. God might speak to you about that. Whatever your need is, when the music starts, when we begin to sing, just come. Won't you come today?